Hey, dear friends, this is Russ Dizdar. We have 1 hour, 1 hour together tonight, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it is Wednesday, December the 2nd. We don't have any snow here in this area, but they're planning on it this week. And I tell you what, as I am listening to the news and I listen to some of the president's speech, and, well, there's a lot of things that are going on around us that would, steal and rob people's hope. And we need to realize in a fallen world, even when they sound good, that the promises they make, well, so many times cannot be fulfilled. And listen, we need to understand that there is a hope, an incredible hope, and someone who speaks promises that have been, are being, and definitely will be fulfilled. I want to welcome you again tonight. This is the Shatter the Darkness hour that our friend Steve Quell has given to us, and we're glad to be here and glad so many of you have come and taken a look at the website, downloaded hundreds and hundreds, literally now for the last month and a half, thousands of downloads. So we're trying to put up more and more for everybody. We pray that it's an encouragement. And we pray that, listen, during the show, you can call in if you'd like, and that is shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. And I shared one of those emails yesterday, and I know that we're behind on the overall emails when I get them during the week, and I get hundreds. We're not able to respond to everybody, but we're trying, and we care, and I know that for many it may be a voice. Hopefully now a familiar voice that you're coming to listen to and begin to learn all of what we're about. For those who are new, my name is Russ Dizdar, and we are at the website shatterthedarkness.net. Now, that'll link you to five other websites of ours and give you just tons of information and downloads. We pray that it will be helpful to you. And again, it seems like it from all the emails that you have sent in. Glad to meet new friends from England again, and want to know where you're from, where you're listening from, and all the world where you're listening from. Now, we've been putting up the archives also, and we've noticed that even those who miss the shows at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, again, by the thousands, are downloading out of the archives, and we're glad for that. Now, we've got a subject this week that I think is vital. I think that because of the world, and we're talking hundreds of thousands of individuals that are involved in psychic prediction, that are involved in remote viewing, and remote viewing the past, the present, and the future. Now, they're all fascinating things, but one concern that we have had all along is the source of human enhancement. When humans are enhanced in some way to go beyond the norm, we look for what that enhancement is. Now, you got to understand, in my life, we have dealt with hundreds of cases of full-blown demonic manifestation. I mean, where the demons literally throw the person to the ground and they scream at you and curse you. And my God, listen, I have seen in the scriptures the consistent way the Bible reveals, you know, their nature and how they operate and what they do. But I've also seen and experienced their nature, their hatred. May I say, friends, that it is an ancient hate. We describe this in the book, The Black Awakening. We've got a series that we're doing right now on the rise of Homo Satanas. Literally, the last MP3 that we've put up is called Satan in Human Skin, and it does involve, again, that nature of his and what it is he wants. What he wants has a lot to do with the seduction and the deception that millions are being drawn into. It is a danger. And so please understand the compelling that I have by the Spirit of God that would scream out to anywhere in the world, to any friend of mine or family member of mine, that if they were being guided by seducing spirits, spirits that were false and that were lying to them and deceiving them. Well, wouldn't you want to do something about that? I have mentioned again, predators can come and lie and literally deceive people and con people and then bring great harm to them. And that's what it is in the spiritual world. There is a spiritual con job going on all around us. And we need to realize the Spirit of Truth has given us great insight to the fact that in the end of days, we're going to have unprecedented, I mean absolutely unprecedented, demonstration of the seduction. It's going to become so supernatural, my friends. I'm hoping and praying that you know what side of the fence you're on. And if you know the living Christ, that you know the power of the Spirit of God, and that you can realize that God has given you enormous backing, the infinite presence of the Spirit of God, the infallible Word of God. You have the Savior of truth, the Spirit of truth, the Word of truth. And I want you to know there's really no excuses for believers not knowing not only their Savior well, the Spirit of God's presence and power well, but the Word of truth, especially if we've had time. So may I encourage you, listen, we have been giving away different pieces of some of the courses too, but we have the beginnings of December's 31 Days Ablaze, scripture and a little miniature sermon. And it's one based on the hour in which we live. So you can take a look at that. It's on the shatterthedarkness.net site, 31 Days Ablaze, devotional studies. There's also the offer of the series on the abyss and new podcast broadcast that we've done, new live interviews coming up. There's also a brand new series. We've got three going on right now. A brand new series coming called An Aggressive Approach. And it's really going to be aggressive in the sense of gripping believers with all that we can have and all that we can do in Christ in the last of the last days. How then should we live? To borrow a phrase from, well, Francis Schaeffer, who impacted the world with his writings. I just got a note today, too, that there is, going to be a symposium on, well, it's called a Christian Symposium on the Paranormal. Looks like it's going to be held in St. Louis. Tony Cowell is going to be looking like he's going to head that up. And he's a law enforcement agent, wrote a book called A Cop's Guide to Investigating Occult and Cult Crimes. I listened to him a couple years ago in St. Louis at a seminar. Very good, packed information. And I just got the information today. So we put the notice of it up on the website and what's coming. So, again, you can check that out. Tonight is the night that we are grappling with. Does Satan himself know more about biblical prophecy than most? And why? Now, the overall theme for the week, the 4 hours that we have, is glimpses of actual future history. And I will say again, when you read biblical prophecy speaking about future events, those are actual historic events, and even the details of those events, well, we've been given these anywhere from 2,000 to 2,600 to 3,000 years in advance. Why so much communication? Why so much definition? God is a God that has been communicating consistently. God has demonstrated that what he says will happen, or what he plans and then tells us in prophecy what he is going to do. Well, so far we have found out that it's all 100% accurate. We found that it brings about the only accurate predictive revelation out there. And it doesn't matter about Nostradamus or Edgar Cayce or remote viewers who are remote viewing the future. The difficulty with that is the inaccuracies, the confusion. Now, if you know biblical revelation and biblical prophecy, then you know some of the biggest events in human history are unfolding and will unfold in the world that we live in. And just like so many other streams out there are stating and declaring, and how many millions, if not billions, feel, there is that sense of ominous events just around the corner. And we need to be prepared. Are we ready? Are we ready to live it out, to do all that we can for the kingdom of God? Now, I want to say welcome. Welcome to those who are spiritual seekers. Welcome to those who are doing the recon on this show. To those who are looking at everything we say in detail and reporting back. Well, even to handlers and others. I want to say welcome, because in the providence of God and in this 1 hour of just a literally supernatural event, because the prayers have gone up, the Spirit of God is here, there's many times that God will give insight to listeners thousands of miles away, even in the midst. And I'm fascinated by again, the Spirit of God, as we go through this 1 hour, how there are times that God just simply moves and shifts in a different direction. And if that happens tonight, we're going to go with that. But what we do feel led and guided to bring about is this information. And I think it's strategic. I think God has given an intelligent report, an intelligence report that goes beyond anything we know. I would think that military strategists and military leaders would want to know this. They would want to know the heads up. I would think that those who are embracing globalism and happily promoting globalism and feel the energy behind the developments and the evolution of globalism, I think that they would want to know who the man behind the curtain really is. The inspiration, the empowerment, the energy, the force, the development of globalism from beginning to its ultimate end is the fallen cherub. Let me tell you something. Thousands of years ago, matter of fact, the first prophecy in all of Scripture, the first prophecy in all of Scripture, in the moment of the fall of the human race, God steps in with redemption, with a plan, with a covering, with typology that speaks about a blood that is to come, the blood of Christ. Genesis 3:15. It is about the coming of Messiah. It is about the battle between Satan and Christ and the people of God, and ultimately those who choose to embrace the fallen cherub's doctrine and agenda and live it out. And biblical prophecy tells us that millions will embrace that doctrine and will help fulfill that agenda. Revelation 19:19 is all about that, and we've discussed that. So I constantly bring out warning to those in military and those in politics, because the agenda of the dark side is to bring mass seduction and to lead the political system and to lead the military system into the pinnacle of the Luciferian agenda. It's not about conspiracy. It's not about nutbag, you know, rambling. It is about the accuracy, the integrity, the infallibility of what God has said, not only what he would do, but he's given a heads up. He's given us absolute glimpses of the sequential agenda that Satan has. And by the way, if you don't believe that Satan is real, let me tell you something. There is a powerful blinding. The father of mind control is not Sidney Gottlieb. It doesn't go back to Himmler. It's not all, you know, Mesmer and all that. The father of mind control, with the ability to put layers, dampening the ability of human perception, human discernment, human insight. There is an agenda to keep blanketing human perception and insight, and then altering reality. And I'm going to tell you right now, and there might be some to get mad, but I'm telling you this. Let me tell you why. Because I love you, because God loves you, because there is absolute truth out there, because there is danger in spiritual deception. There's danger in the doctrines that have come from fallen, finite spirits. And I don't know about anybody else, but I care about that. I care about whether our nation, which, by the way, there is no political system, even in America, that does not have some level of spiritual inspiration. You'll find out in looking at the political agendas what spirit is behind the development. And everywhere you find globalism, you find the fallen cherub in the agenda, massive agenda. There is a prince of the power of the air, the immediate atmosphere around the globe. And listen, the interesting thing is that a lot of people are tapping into that. I mean, theoretical physicists and scientists and educators, and I mean, they're looking at the field, the energy. They're looking at the global mind or the conscious universe, the collective unconscious. Now, those are the wrong definitions. But there is a supernatural, living presence emanating power or energy that is in the immediate, dense atmosphere around this globe. And it is from there that a supernatural operating presence and force is emanating from. You can find all that information in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. There is a ruler of the domain of the atmosphere around us who is supernaturally operative in those unaided by the Spirit of God, those who are still embracing that agenda. And so it's very important. And I hope you know what side of the fence you're on. I hope you know that, I recognize, just like in my life before I came to Christ, there are many, many, many thousands of spiritual experiences. But it's very clear they don't all come from God. One of the litmus tests is the fact of whatever spiritual experience you have, whatever it is, if it leads you away from the living Christ, if it brings an alternative, counterfeit message, then you know it didn't come from God. You know it didn't come from the Spirit of Truth. That's vital in this day. More important than any time in history. Listen, more and more people realize they got to lock their doors. They can't let their kids walk three blocks down the street to a grade school and feel safe. We are needing to be very protective in so many ways, in the economic realm, in the, personal safety realm, security. That's why they're all mentioning LifeLock and protecting all kinds of things in your life. Well, I do know one thing. Psalm 91 speaks of a protection that comes from God, and it's absolutely given to everyone believing in the living Christ. You might want to check out Psalm 91 and take your time. Take your time going through that psalm. It is incredible. It is impressive, and it's all about God's commitment of protection over you as a believer in Christ. Now, tonight, Wednesday, December the 2nd, in this last 40 minutes that we have, I've already mentioned some of the broadcast podcasts and other things that we have up, and I want you to realize that in the midst of these live presentations. And I want you to know, listen, they are prayed over. We're seeking the Spirit of God. We're literally engaging individuals from everywhere that have a commitment to the Luciferian agenda. I mean, we've engaged in thousands of hours over 25 years, some of the undergrounders that claim to be the troops of Antichrist, that claim that their Messiah, Antichrist, is alive and going to come to power. So I want you to know that in the conflict, and again, if you're just involved in studying conspiracy and maybe listening to a guy that has been talking about it and you want to check this out, please understand that there is, I believe, not only conspiracy, real conspiracy going on, but God spoke about it 3,000 years ago, and the message that he spoke is a living, active communication dedicated to the leaders of the world, to the nations of the world, and to the peoples of the world. And that, my friend, is found in Psalm chapter 2. Tonight we deal with the fact that Satan knows. He knows prophecy. He knows biblical scripture. He knows the word of God. Anybody reading Matthew chapter 4 and seeing the conflict between, you know, Christ, God in human flesh, now manifest in the world, and Satan showing up to bring him direct, Satan brings an appearance, and there's a direct face-to-face engagement. There you will see the audacity of the fallen cherub to seek to get the Son of God to kneel down and bow down and worship him. I don't know if Satanists understand the insatiable lust of the fallen cherub and the desire not only to be God, but that all would bow down to him, that all would worship him, that all would pay him homage. And it's vital to understand as a Luciferian, those of you in Europe, those that are behind Bohemian Grove, those that are behind the Masonic temples and secret societies and the ancient brotherhood, that the powers that you engage, the powers that you summon, the powers that you breathe in and receive, the powers that enhance you on a human level, make you feel elitist and superior, are the very powers that will leave you dead, bloodied, on the field of Akeldama, no differently than Judas was left. That's important because if you're listening tonight and you are one of those, as a human being, I kind of just speak straight out to you to say, listen, engage. Well, let me ask you a question. What is it that brings hatred in your heart concerning God? Do you think for a moment that Satan will speak anything true about God? When Jesus Christ himself says in the Gospels that he's the father of lies, in him there is no truth. Now he's dealing with the very genetics, the very DNA, the very nature, substance of all that the fallen cherub is, all that Satan is. There is no truth dwelling in him. When Satan comes and embraces Jesus in Matthew 4, there is an engagement. He is animated. He is there emanating his presence and power. He is using the force of seduction, of temptation. He is bringing about, well, even quoting scripture to Jesus Christ. Each quote that Satan brought out was out of context and misused. I am convinced now, listen, I am convinced now that when it comes to Satan himself, all the demons that have guided writings like Alice Bailey's writings and Helena Blavatsky's writings, demons that have been in people that have quoted scripture to me in the engagement of an exorcism, I am convinced that not only do they will to misquote it and misuse it, against people. But I now believe that it's in their nature. They don't have the capacity to quote biblical scripture correctly. I'm convinced of that. I'm convinced of the spirits of the New Age that have guided thousands of writers, specific ones that we know very well, channelers and others. I am absolutely convinced that remote viewers receiving data from the Akashic records are receiving from the exact same planos or seducing spirits that the Holy Spirit warned us of 2,000 years ago. And that seduction is willed, but also innate. It is their nature. If they're going to say a word about God, it will always, no matter what it begins to sound like, it will always be twisted. Their natures are bent against God. Their natures are at war with God. They are eternally fixed. Masters of disguise. Why is that? Masters of disguise? Because Satan himself can masquerade, can morph, can change, can put on a mask and spiritually make himself look like an angel of light. And that is a, listen, if you don't understand that, now I've had New Agers and others that are deeply versed, even Luciferians, say, you guys always quote that. Why not? It's true. And I think that Satanists know that. I think those who've gone through satanic ritual abuse and have brought up and been brought up in the ranks, you know that. You know that the things that are said, the things that are done, there's error and there's lies and there's fear and there's punishment. Is that the kingdom or the domain that you want to stay in, that you want to embrace? Going back to Matthew 4, there the engagement. Jesus Christ now quotes scripture back to Satan. Each time Jesus quotes, it's done in the context of historical biblical truth. It's done correctly and rightly. And I believe in the will and the nature of Christ, it couldn't have been done any other way. We're talking about absolute, total opposites. Jesus comes to bring revelation of himself. 300 prophecies talk about his appearance. A star in the sky, wise men from the east, the angels that show up and the shepherds hear sing. The communication of prophetic song and prophetic words from Elizabeth and Mary and prophet and prophetesses in the very beginning. Please understand, there's massive communication. Question. Are we listening? He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Now that's something that Jesus would say. That's something that God says in this, in the end of each of the communication of the seven churches in Revelation. Believers in Christ should be familiar with the Spirit of God, because if you are a real believer in Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God dwells within you. In this day in which politics, well, it's like a friend that I know, Bob Rosio, wrote a book called Hitler in the New Age, great book. He wrote a sequel or a second book called The Satanization of Society. I don't even know if it's out there any longer. And I know more about the title than I do about the contents, though I've read it, because the title grips me. The Satanization of Society. And that's what biblical prophecy teaches about globalism, the rise of Babylon. Anybody can take a look at Revelation 18 and see that it becomes the pinnacle, the home, the dwelling place, the unprecedented manifestation of demonic presence, power, and force. Listen to me now, as never before in human history, some are being swept away by it now. Some will continue to float down that Luciferian stream to the day that the mark is offered and the image is created. And once anybody takes the mark, worships the image, well, as far as your human history, it's toast. It's done. It's over. Soldiers, those going to be recruited, put this deep within you. Beware of paranormal and psi warfare operations. Be very careful concerning super soldier. I'm not talking about equipment. I'm talking about the promises of or the being led into projects that claim that you can be supernaturally enhanced and become stronger, more able, spiritually enhanced powers. Well, those are the precursors of what the future demonically energized super soldiers will be all about in the end of days. Now, I'm going to ask you a question again tonight, and this is the topic. Does Satan know biblical prophecy? Let me ask you a question. How much prophecy do you know? And I think it's a vital question because one-third of the New Testament is biblical prophecy. It is about the future. It is about what's going on all around the world right now. It has a lot to do with Israel, the Middle East, Russia, all around that area. It has a lot to do with the largest counterfeit spiritual movement in history, the New Age movement. It has everything to do with the coming catastrophic chaos that will collapse nations, only to open up a day for a new regime and a new world. And it will be presented with all the flash and flare that hell can provide. I'm going to tell you on a biblical, on the basis of biblical revelation, Satan knows more about biblical prophecy, probably more than most Christians, more than most pastors. And I'm going to go over some reasons why. Let me give you a couple of statements here, okay? When I look at biblical revelation, especially in Matthew 4, especially as Satan is defeated in Matthew 4, we're told by the Spirit of God in that same chapter that he's going to go look for a more opportune time. In the context of building the church, Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail. The birth of the church, the creation of the church, the longevity of the church, Jesus made it very clear that its emergence into the world involves an incredible, direct, spiritual battle. The forces of hell itself are engaged against the church. Listen, as brothers and sisters in Christ, be careful how hard you are on others who have stumbled and fallen and have been weakened by the battle. In the battlefield, I don't think we should leave anybody behind. In the battlefield, I think that the wounded believers should have spiritual medics that will help them be restored. I think that's what Galatians chapter 1 speaks about. I think that's what James, the last two verses of chapter 5, speaks about. I don't believe Christians should leave their wounded, those who have failed, those who have been beaten down, out on the field to be picked apart. Can I tell you right now that we have an enemy? Can I tell you right now that we have an enemy that it shows no mercy? There's times that we need to just weep with those who weep. There's times that we need to bring correction and rebuke. There's times, but whatever, whether compassion or rebuke, it's all about grabbing our brothers and sisters in Christ off of a battlefield where they have been defeated and wounded, for the sake of their restoration and renewal. Isn't that what Jesus did for Peter? Didn't Jesus speak the words Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you. The you is plural in the Greek. All you guys. He has asked to sift all you guys. But I have prayed for you that your faith would not fail, and when you return, strengthen your brothers. Now that's amazing. No one in that room even knew Satan entered it to try to bring destruction to the early disciples. No one in that new room knew the battle that they would feel and experience, the failures that Peter would demonstrate, and the restoration that Jesus would bring. I wonder if Peter ever thought he could come back. I wonder if Peter ever thought he would be able to rise again. Well, just take a look at the day of Pentecost. As Peter, clothed with the power of the Spirit of God now, proclaims to thousands upon thousands in great power. Weak, feeble Peter, stumbling and being defeated at one point, rises to become a spiritual lion for Christ. Read the books of 1st and 2nd Peter, and it'll show you that he did learn. And he does know battle. Any Christian in America that does not understand spiritual warfare, number one, has not been correctly discipled systematically, biblically. Number two, may be defeated and not know it. Number three, may be living a subnormal, which seems to be acceptable in a carnal church, in a body that is carnal and weak and anemic. It may seem very normal for other believers to be carnal and weak and anemic and unable. That's not what we see on the day of Pentecost. That's not what we see in the call of Christ to take up the cross and follow him. That's not what we see in the life of a second generation believer, Philip, in the book of Acts chapter 8. We're finding that some believers can grow and grow and grow and grow and become unstoppable. And even when they're beaten and thrown into prison and still resolve to serve Christ, it seems as though they become indefeatable, unstoppable. And it seems very clear from the reports in the book of Acts that God is all over their faithful lives. God is all over their faithful lives. Can I say it one more time? That as you read the book of Acts and see those who are bearing great fruit, it seems as though God in his presence and power and all of heaven is all over those faith-filled, obedient lives. But isn't that what Jesus taught? Isn't that what he said would happen? Now I want to tell you again, whether you're looking at Matthew 4 or two specific scriptures that I want you to nail down tonight. Two of those scriptures are Revelation 12 and Revelation 19. You can read them in their context. You can look at the specifics in Revelation 12. I mean, it's very interesting to see there that in a panoramic view that God is giving us of the coming of Christ, of Israel, of the body of Christ, and of the satanic, well, he's called the ancient dragon who seeks to lead the world astray in that chapter. That chapter reveals the enormity of the Luciferic power and presence, describing Satan as the ancient dragon. Notice in Revelation chapter 12, my friends, that Satan was already there and waiting. If you read Revelation 12, you're going to find out that this powerful spiritual entity seems to have known very clearly the timing of the arrival of Jesus Christ the first time. Revelation 12 seems to reveal that he knew the timing, that he was there in that area, because he's finite, he can't be everywhere at once, that he was there and prepared and ready to preempt. I'm going to go over some things that I think Revelation 12 shows. And if you get these down, you'll understand why I'm screaming about Revelation 19:19. It's the same principle. There are three times, twice in human history and once in the heavenlies, that the fallen cherub, the twisted one, seeks to dethrone God, which involves annihilating God and taking his place. I hope you understand that. To take God's place in the five I wills of Isaiah involves the destruction of God, the annihilation of God. And I believe that's what was intended in the beginning, the finite attempted, horribly lost. But when it came to the arrival of God in human flesh, the audacity, the tenacity, and the force of this fallen but powerful entity showed up on the scene. Revelation 12 reveals that Satan knew the timing of the first coming of Christ. This scripture reveals that he was seeking to destroy the Christ child. That's right. The Christ child. From the moment of the birth of, listen, the incarnation, God in human flesh, this became the threat. This became the threat to the existence and agenda of the fallen cherub. And the attempt to destroy Christ in the beginning probably included the inspiration behind the king's edict to have all babies in the region, 2 years old and younger, slaughtered, that dealt with a prophecy that talked about the weeping of Rachel for her children. Behind the horrific human acts like that, you've got to understand, even with Judas and his instant betrayal of Christ for a few pieces of silver, involved the direct inspiration, communication, guidance, supernatural movement of Satan into their hearts and minds. And it is no different today in the leaders of globalism, in the leaders in the political and military world that have opened themselves to the seduction of the ages. The seduced will be reduced. It's the Judas Project all over again. Shut your heart to God. Shut your heart to the living Christ. Shut your heart to the blood of Christ and the power of the living Christ, and you open it wide. You open it wide for the other side to operate not only supernaturally, but quite possibly without your cognitive knowledge. Without your cognitive knowledge. Go back to look where the scripture speaks about Judas. When the Bible says Satan entered into him, he instantly got up and went out and betrayed Christ. Doesn't say anything about that he knew it, that he felt weird, that he felt a presence enter his room, that something came into his head, thoughts, that energy swarmed him. His heart was so cut and shut concerning the living Christ that it was wide open. Some of you listening right now have the back door of your existence open to this kind of suprahuman, supernatural deception and the use of your life. New Age leaders, you're being used to betray Christ all over again. In the future, super soldiers and military men and women, embracing the mark, embracing the image, following whom God calls the beast, out onto the field of Armageddon. Whatever energy, whatever you felt, whatever you thought, whatever you were promised, whatever you believed, maybe it was that you would be able to evolve into a deity. Maybe you thought it would be some kind of new, promise. It ends in bloody tragedy and the loss of your soul, for sure. Let me go over the four things very clearly. Satan knows biblical prophecy. Back in the garden where he brought the onslaught and the battle, God set up the protective and victorious means by which we, the human race, could have preserved our eternal nature and the full image of God in sinlessness. But we didn't embrace the Word of God. We chucked the Word of God, believed the lie, embraced a counterfeit and alternative spirituality. And death entered in, and everything was affected. Now, in the redemptive process of God bringing His redemption to humanity, in Revelation 3, chapter 3, verse 15, is the first prophetic revelation in all of Scripture, basically. Speaking of the Messiah, speaking of the battle, speaking of the cross of Christ, literally, and also of the final destruction of Satan and all of his works. You ever read 1 John chapter 3, verse 8? The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's works. I hope you understand how important that is, because I'm going to tell you again, whether you understand the depth of the enemy, and this is all biblical, and this is all part of growing in Christ and part of discipleship, Satan knows biblical prophecy. Now, I'm going to tell you that because he was able to quote Scripture so freely to Jesus, although misusing it. But based on Revelation 12 and Revelation 19, it seems as though he knows exactly when it is Christ comes the first time, when it is Christ is coming the second time, and number two, Satan seeks to preempt or to stop the fulfillment of that prophecy. I'm convinced very deeply Satan would try to destroy the recipients of biblical prophecy, do whatever it takes to destroy biblical prophecy from being fulfilled. Why? Because it involves his destruction. Biblical prophecy fulfilled involves some of the highest manifestation of God's presence in the world, which obviously the center is the incarnation, God in human flesh. Now, if you're an individual that are just looking at Christ, you're looking at what Jesus is all about in Scripture, please understand, Satan knows who he is. The demons know who he is. They oppose him. Revelation 12 shows that not only was Satan there, that he knew the timing, that he was prepared, that it's clear that he based his presence there on prophecy, that he based his goal of destroying the Christ child on what prophecy said. This is the Savior of the world. This is Emmanuel. This is now God in human flesh. This is the one that's going to go to the cross. This is the one that's going to bring destruction to radical evil and an end to death and an end to war and rape and bloodshed and racism and all the junk that we want ended. It ends, my dear friend, by an infinite hand. It's obvious that all of human history, no matter what, we have not ended sin and radical evil. There's no question what Jesus did. The cross became a massive defeat. Obviously, Satan entered Judas to have Jesus betrayed, to orchestrate a conspiracy behind the scenes that would bring a terrible, horrific, listen, behind the beatings of Christ, behind what was done to him, behind everything that was done, is very clear. Satanic inspiration. Wherever you find the spirit of Antichrist, a critical mass, or a hatred of the living Christ, you find the heart of Satan himself. Revelation 12 reveals that Satan was coming to put a stop to the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. Now, in Revelation 12, a third thing is seen. And Satan is going to seek to use the issues of biblical prophecy. Ultimately, let me tell you this, I want you to grab your seat, to defeat and or to kill the living Christ. That's right, to kill God. Let me ask you a question tonight. When we talk about God being infinite, powerful, amazing, I mean, all the things we can say, his nature, can he be destroyed? Can God be destroyed? Obviously, there was an attempt in the heavenlies. Obviously, there was an attempt at the cross. Revelation 12 is very clear about that. Revelation 12 is very clear that when the ancient dragon could not destroy the living Christ because he was... You read the scripture in Revelation 12? The Greek word harpezo is used. That's a reference to the catching up of the saints here in the near future. That God, harpezo, snatched up. That's the ascension, the resurrection, I believe, and the ascension of Christ. He's a suffering servant, but he's done with that. He has died. He was buried. He rose. He ascended. He's untouchable. He was indefeatable, but now he is not just indefeatable, but untouchable. So in Revelation 12... the untouchable Christ, Satan turns and goes after Israel. And there is an insatiable lust to annihilate Israel. Wherever you see it, whether in the Nazis or in the Islamic scholars, radical, you know, so forth, you're going to find wherever there is this ancient hate to destroy and annihilate Israel, you're going to find, again, the heart, the agenda of Satan. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm not saying that Israel's not at fault for rejecting its Messiah. I'm saying very clearly, biblically, they were at fault, and Jesus said that their house would be left desolate until the end of the age. That there would be a turning, that there would be an incredible, miraculous saving event in the end of days. Let alone the fact that Messiah Christ would come visibly and touch down there at the temple, the very spot that Satan wants to get to first, the very spot where the Antichrist wants to get into that temple and declare himself to be God first. If you don't believe that Satan's real in operating the world, then you're really lost to the battle, the conspiracy, the agenda that's going on. If you don't understand that this being is and has gone global in his manifestation, that just as he took Judas and used him, he will do the same with millions. The point number three that I was mentioning was that the entire goal was to bring a destruction, an annihilation. The ancient dragon, Satan, the fallen cherub, sought to kill Christ as a child. It's no wonder that Satanists can use, and I've got here a French version of the Black Mass, of a baby sacrifice. I've discussed with underground Satanists their use of babies in sacrifice. I've discussed with them their desire of the innocent age to prolong the torture and the screams and the cry for the power demons to come. But what most have forgotten is that it brings again kind of a secondary sense of attack. What Satan couldn't do 2,000 years ago in the birth of the Christ child. Could it be that baby sacrifice among Satanists is just an angry display of the failure 2,000 years ago? Every baby sacrificed, and listen, thousands of those who've come out of satanic ritual abuse, you all know this. You all know this well. May God's great mercy, God's great intervention occur in your life. And I would pray that you will become whistleblowers. May God give you power and strength to do so. May God's supernatural embrace, even now, encourage you to do so. Point number one was that Satan knows biblical prophecy. Point number two, Satan seeks to preempt or stop the fulfillment of prophecy. And number three, the goal in two of the most powerful God-revealing fulfillments of prophecy in both cases, one now in the past and one in the future, is where Satan seeks to annihilate God, to kill God. That's where I'm going to bring in Revelation 19, 19. And I hope you're listening because it involves the future, but we are on the way to that future. In the apocalypse of Antichrist, and in those 7 years of globalization and military, a massive military buildup, the largest supernaturally enhanced, probably the most technologically advanced military system in human history, will march out onto the field there around Jerusalem, around that temple, will be there in massive numbers and power. They're going to aim their weapons into the sky. And for the final and last time, they're going to attempt to destroy, to annihilate God. My dear friends, this is Russ Dizdar. We've run out of time tonight. I hope you know what side of the fence you are on. God loves you. His grace is waiting. Whosoever calls on the name of the living Christ can be saved. Come to Christ. God bless you. Check out shatterthedarkness.net. I'll see you on Friday night.